This weekend, I had the pleasure to accompany our confirmation youth on their annual fall retreat to Bethel Horizons Camp. It's always such a good time watching our young people grow together and to get to know their fellow classmates a bit better. One of the things that really struck me this weekend was how tight-knit this group seemed to be in such a short amount of time. Some had known each other for years, while others had known each other for merely minutes, tops. The way that they flung themselves into a space of openness and vulnerability to one another was quite moving when you took a step back to ponder it. And of course, as my brain was still churning in sermon mode, all I could see before me was salt. That's right, salt. All I could see in their exchanges between these young people was the good news of Jesus Christ being shared in laughter, in challenge, encouragement, and of course, some good-natured shenanigans. The salt of the earth right before my eyes. Salt in the Holy Scriptures has been lifted up in a myriad of ways. In Leviticus, it comes in as part of a command. As it reads, "Do not let the salt of the covenant of your God be lacking in your cereal offering." Salt appears to be an essential piece in the sacrificial system of the temple and even prior to it. For it seems every acceptable sacrifice must be sprinkled with salt to express symbolically its soundness, sweetness, wholesomeness, and acceptability. The book of Numbers references salt as a covenantal bond, that to share salt with someone is to share in fellowship with that person. Or, even greater, to be in a covenantal relationship with them. This is the salt I saw with our youth. Salt is not just important when it comes to religious practices, but our bodies need salt to function properly. In the ancient world, salt was a big commodity because it was used as a preservative, essential for storing food. Entire communities could suffer from starvation if they didn't have sufficient supplies of salt. Salt was so valuable that it was even used as currency in some places. Roman soldiers were given salt as part of their wages. The word salary comes from the Latin phrase salarium argentum, or salt money. So when Jesus references salt in this place, when he declares that salt is good, he's understating things just a hair. When Jesus says that salt is good, he's implying something much deeper. That salt is vital to life and to health. Perhaps Jesus, in his own way, is implying that having salt, or in this case, being salt, is more important than losing your foot or hand or eye. Because in this case, salt just ain't salt. It's a belief in the power of the name of Jesus. It's the spirit of self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice that is essential for true covenantal living. In the epistle of St. James, the ideology of covenantal living and belief in the power of the name of Jesus is fleshed out through his emphasis on what the community is to do for one another. He encourages us to confess our sins to one another and to pray for each other that there might be healing. This peace of opening ourselves up to each other in community is indeed a powerful one, pushing us away from lives of isolation and yet towards a life lived among others, in fellowship shared with each other. James highlights that we as a community bear a responsibility for each other, which in this day and age may feel a bit shallow and a far cry, but that we are called, and that the prosperity, vitality, and life of our neighbor are intertwined with ours, and that Christ calls us to this work. And this work, my friends, is the work of peace. Having salt in yourselves is living out the shalom, or the peace of God, in our relationships with one another as followers of Jesus, and then to share this salt with all the world. Having salt in yourselves is to be as salty as Jesus is salty, to be last and servant of all, welcoming to the child so as to welcome the Father. There's to be something distinctive about the followers of Jesus, about Christianity, about us. We are to be known by our service and solidarity with the last, the least, and the lost. We are to be known for a life spent striving for the ethics of the kingdom. We are to be known for our spirit of self-sacrifice. If we are not, then we are like salt that has lost its zest. We are tasteless. So in order to avoid this tastelessness, this lack of zest, I believe this is why Jesus goes all hyperbolic with the disciples. Jesus takes the imagery all the way to 11 when he discusses the consequences of becoming a stumbling block to a child or one young in the faith. For the disciples are far from mirroring salt. The reason being is that the disciples are still all wrapped up in the idea of who is the greatest, as well as their perceived administration over all things Jesus. In this case, in regards to a guy casting out demons in Jesus' name. Jesus tries to make it perfectly clear to his disciples, and for very similar reasons to us, that because of him, all will be salted, and that this salt, this preservation not for food, but for our salvation, enables us to live a life marked by our self-sacrificial love, our living into the vulnerability and mutual responsibility of the covenantal community. A life that we live in the freedom of Christ Jesus. A life full of the abundance of God. In short, my friends, a salty, flavorful life. Amen. Thanks be to God.